Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Hello. Welcome again to Why Fish Radio. I am your host, Brad, with my trusty co-host, you haven't heard that in a while, Other Brad, as we're commonly known. So how was Red Lake in the big opener?
Well, I would say as far as the fishing goes, it certainly lived up to expectations. Lots of walleyes, lots of fish biting. I guess maybe the only surprise out of the whole deal was I don't think the crowd was nearly what was expected going into it. You know, I heard forecasts of expectations of, you know, probably 1,000 boats out there opening day. In reality, it was probably closer to 150, maybe 200 boats. So certainly not crowded by any means, which is not that. I mean, that's a good thing. You didn't have crowded boat ramps. You didn't have hassles that way. I think the weather probably was a big factor because, as in typical Minnesota fishing opener fashion, the weather was less than favorable, and especially the day before was just awful. Pretty heavy rain, lots of wind, cold. You know, just your classic fishing opener scenario. So I think it maybe kept, you know, a lot of people away, and, you know, maybe the two walleye limit, there's a very restrictive limit over there, you know, which there needs to be. And that might have been a factor, but I think it was probably the weather more than anything else. Crowds were down a little bit.
Do you think, you know, this is, we've been talking about it for, well over 2 weeks on this show. Do you think the actual media hype maybe got people thinking, well, maybe not Red Lake for the opener, but we'll hit it later in the future. You think any of that was going on?
Oh, I think that definitely was a factor. People had all these expectations of big crowds, and, you know, nobody likes, especially for that first trip out of the season, you know, maybe a lot of people haven't even started their boat yet. They're just kind of making a, you know, kind of a dry run. And, you know, to do that in a situation where you're just absolutely bombarded by other boats and other fishermen, you know, maybe it's one of those things, like you say, the expectation of these huge crowds did scare some people off. I know myself, I mean, I was there covering the event as a reporter, and had I not been in that situation, would I have gone there myself opening day? Probably not, and especially given the weather forecast. So I think there's a lot of people that are in the same boat, so to speak.
Well, I understand after doing your job, you had a pleasant trip to the undisclosed body of water.
Yep, the CUBW. Yeah, it lived up to expectations once again. It's always nice to have these little places where you could get away from the crowds and get out, and weather isn't necessarily a big factor. And that was the situation I found myself in the second day opening weekend. And yep, got some walleyes and a few pike, and really, really very enjoyable. In fact, I would have to say on the enjoyment scale, I enjoyed it probably more than I did, you know, the day before on Upper Red. Of course, the day before I was, you know, quote unquote working too. And, you know, you do have the clock is ticking and you've got deadlines and stuff like that. So that, you know, it's not quite the same as being out there fishing for fun. But Sunday I was fishing for fun and it was a great day. So, you know, looking back on this one, opening weekend 2006, I would have to say it's going to go down as one of the better openers I've had in a long time.
Well, just reading through some websites and some articles and different things, it looks like, barring some mediocre to crummy weather, the catches were good. You know, I don't recall in any recent history hearing or seeing real nice catches on the opening weekend. It seems like more of the event and the catching comes later. But this year it seems like there was a lot of success.
There was. It seemed like, you know, success rates were very high. I know the Minnesota governor, Tim Pawlenty, was up on Rainy Lake for the annual governor's opener and actually did very well. I believe he caught something like 7 walleyes that first day. And, you know, for an opening day, especially up on a border water, that's pretty good fishing. It, you know, it says a lot about the quality of that fishery and probably bodes real well for, you know, the fishing opportunities to come when the water temperature rises a little bit and things straighten out, you know, especially given the weather, because, you know, like I say, it was not a nice day out there. So to see that kind of success, I mean, it's real encouraging. Heard another report of a 12-pound walleye that was caught on the Rainy River, and, you know, of course, that flows into Lake of the Woods. Heard some pretty good reports on Lake of the Woods, not so much on the lake itself, but in Four Mile Bay, that part where the Rainy River empties into the lake, people anchoring out there, jigging with a minnow, did pretty well. And that's a typical kind of early season scenario. You can kind of look for those fish to start moving out on the lake there now, and that'll start kicking into high gear real fast. And of course, you know, north of the border, we had the opening of the Manitoba season as well. What heard any reports from up that way?
Well, the reports I'm hearing were actually a little bit on the slower side, but there's a reason for that. It's not that the fish weren't there, from what I'm understanding. It's they're dealing with a little bit of fast water and high water. So you've been there, I've been there in the high water situation, and just getting into the spot you want to fish, it's just not convenient. And you know, you really got to work for what you get in that current. And you know, you're not going to get a lot of reports, because having been there in person, there's a lot of people that don't have the guts to go out in that. And you know, I'm even a little leery of it.
Well, and it's probably just good common sense too, and the water's real high and you know, fast on top of it. But you know, I guess I heard a report from our friend Canuck up there, and he'd been out for about 4 hours opening day, got four catfish, which, you know, having watched him in action before, that's, you know, that's a tough day. But at the same time, when the gates are open in the dam and the floodway doesn't have any water in it, those, you know, the floodway is often a saving grace up there when the water's high. If you can get into the floodway, it's usually loaded with fish. But right now, apparently, it's just kind of in that in-between sort of a transition phase where the river's pretty high, but there's not much water in the floodway. So those two things kind of give you a double whammy, and neither one of them work in your favor as far as catching fish.
Well, and, you know, the good thing is everything's kind of falling and settling out, so it's just a matter of a couple weeks. Everything should be straightened out. And since we're on the subject of Lockport, book your trip now with Cats on the Red. I'm sure Stu would be glad to have you. And, you know, by the time you make your reservations and get up there, that water should be stabilized, so more fun to be had.
Absolutely. Give them a call at area code 204-757-9876. And don't kid yourself, there is going to be some great fishing up there. It, you know, it happens year in and year out. And, you know, the bottom line is high flows on rivers, and especially the Red River in that area. You have high flows, the good fishing is not going to be far behind. It's bore out year after year after year. And I tell you what, I'm chomping at the bit to get up there.
Well, and you know, let's move upstream 100 miles or so to another friend of ours, Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures. Let's see, it's about an hour ago I was out in the Red River fishing with Kent, and we did pretty good. And the water is very high, and we were commenting on that when we were out there, that without our new accesses, we are still 4 feet from even getting the boats in. So very lucky. Normally with water levels where they're at in the Grand Forks area, fishing would not be an option, but today it was an option. New ramp worked great, and you know, we managed to pull four. We were out just a touch over 3 hours, you know, checking some old spots and trying to figure a pattern out. So you know, there's another trip to book if you don't want to take the trip all the way to Lockport, although I think it's in your best interest. But another exciting trip, different look, different stretch of river. You know, Kent Holland's at Trophy Cat Adventures, trophycatadventures.com.
Well, and you know, if you're coming from down south a little ways, take the best of both worlds, hit them both. They're two great stretches of river. They're very different. They're you know, it's hard to even think it's the same river once you get up into Manitoba. But the kiddies are pretty big in both spots, and you know, if you're up here for the first time, what a great way to, you know, turn yourself onto the Red River. Hit both stretches. You know, give the folks up here a call. They'll, you know, Kent here in Grand Forks or Stu up in Canada, they'll be more than happy to show you a good time. And I guess, you know, as far as the fishing tonight, I'm just curious, what did you find as far as the mood of the fish? Were they biting pretty aggressively right now, or are they a little tentative?
You know, it was actually very interesting. The water's 4 to 5 feet higher than it usually is about this time of year. And today was the first really warm day we've had in quite some time. We saw a lot of catfish rolling on the surface, and big catfish. And we were thinking, you know, high water coming into, or in pre-spawn, we figured shallow water. We had our best luck in deeper water, places you would typically find mid-season, but they were aggressively feeding out there. I mean, when they hit a clicker, wow, did they hit a clicker. When they hit a circle rod, get a hold of it, because they're going to pull it in. So they're really aggressively feeding, and they kind of caught us off guard with their pattern.
Well, and the other thing, I'm sure it's been a factor here on the Red. Water temperatures in the rivers have been dropping. Up on Red Lake there, the Tamarack River, which flows into Upper Red, the temperature had dropped from the high 50s, you know, a week and a half ago to opening day. The water temperature was in the mid to low 40s. So that's a pretty significant drop. I mean, you know, a drop like that will certainly affect the mood of the fish. So you start getting those water temperatures going back up again, those fish should just really turn on. So, I mean, there's some great things coming up ahead right now.
Yeah, and if we can get the water levels to stabilize a little bit, I mean, just our stretch of red has been, seems like it's up a foot, down a foot every week. It's fairly stable, actually, but it's just not getting into that, what you would call, normal range.
Yeah, exactly. I hope we're not setting ourselves up for a repeat of last year where, you know, during the whole month of June, the river was basically flooding. I mean, knowing, you know, some things now that I didn't know then, you know, certainly doesn't mean that you can't fish during that period of time, but it does complicate things as far as trying to access the river itself. But, you know, I'd like to see just a nice, normal June with some nice, normal weather. But, you know, right now, you know, show me. I'll believe it when I see it.
Amen. We're about two-thirds of the way through a normal show, and I got to change the subject here. As far as upcoming stuff goes, and, you know, we're going to try to hit Devil's Lake this week. Something new and exciting, I guess, for this year is casting. I know we talk about it quite a bit, but it just hasn't happened yet. So hopefully we can get out and do some of that. But on the subject of Devil's Lake, more importantly, that comes up, our buddy Lynn Schlater from Game and Fish informed us that there's some new aquatic nuisance species getting a little closer. So we should probably keep everybody updated on what's going on in that front.
Well, and I guess the key word in the whole thing is vigilance. You know, people need to start thinking about this stuff. It's, you know, it's like so many things, you think, well, it can't happen here, it's going to happen somewhere else. You know, and these invasive species, we're talking things like zebra mussels or, you know, aquatic nuisance plants like Eurasian water milfoil, things that aren't really good for your lake or river to have. And, you know, they'll affect spawning habitat, they'll affect game fish populations. And, you know, the thing about it is they are preventable. They don't need to get, you know, introduced into a body of water. And usually how they get there, it's by anglers that, you know, maybe have been fishing someplace where these critters exist. And they're fishing one weekend, they load up the boat, and the next thing you know, they're heading somewhere else, and they're not really paying any attention. Maybe they've got some, you know, some critters that are hanging on for a little ride, and next thing you know, they launch the boat somewhere else, and the critters are let loose, and then you've got a problem. You know, that seems to be how these things are spread. But, you know, the good news in all of this is, you know, with a little bit of, you know, precaution, these things certainly don't need to have a ride. And, you know, it's as simple as, you know, pressure washing your boat, you know, cleaning up your live well. You got some weeds hanging down off the back of your trailer. Get rid of them. They're not supposed to be there, and they're certainly not supposed to be introduced into another body of water. And, you know, other common sense things like, you know, don't empty your bait bucket into the lake at the end of the day. Not only is it stupid, it's illegal. So, you know, just common sense things. You know, take a few of these steps because it can really go a long way to preserving the quality of that fishing experience down the road. We don't need these things in our lakes. We just as soon not have them. And you know, it's going to take all of us working together to make sure that is indeed the case.
If you've been listening to this show for quite some time, you'll know that this is very important to us. And this won't be the last time we talk about it. We'll definitely hear from Lynn Schlater again because he's in charge of the North Dakota aquatic nuisance species. But now, correct me if I'm wrong, new invasion in Nebraska somewhere near the Missouri River?
Yeah, as I understand it, it's in a body of water that could conceivably connect up with the Missouri River, you know, if water levels were right. I'm not sure right off the top of my head at this point where, you know, where this, you know, what lake or river we're talking about here. But, you know, in Minnesota, just in the past week, the Department of Natural Resources declared the Upper Mississippi River, and that would be the stretch from Brainerd to St. Anthony Falls in the Twin Cities, as infested with zebra mussels. And that's not a good thing. It's, you know, it seems like it's probably a little more prevalent in places where you have a lot of, you know, shipping traffic. And, you know, that's where they first showed up in Minnesota, was in the Duluth Superior Harbor. Apparently had caught a ride, you know, in the ballast of a ship that had come across from, you know, who knows where. But, you know, the It's in the upper Mississippi, and also the stretch from the Twin Cities to the Iowa border is already considered infested. So, you know, there's other places in Minnesota where it's popping up, and so I mean it's getting closer to us all the time. So it's time for everybody to start thinking about the fact that you need to start taking some steps to do your part to make sure that these things don't get any more of a ride than they need to.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of listeners in besides North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio, places like that. You know, you guys are part of this as well. And if you have some water that's not infested yet, it's probably in your best interest as well to take care of your waters. And, you know, we all got to work together. It's not just us here in North Dakota trying to prevent it. It's neighboring states and, you know, all of you in other parts of the country that need to pay attention to this for your own betterment and your own enjoyment.
Well, and the thing that's scary about it is, I mean, today's angler is so mobile. I mean, it's no problem at all to be fishing, you know, the Great Lakes. Maybe you're on Lake Erie fishing walleyes one day, you know, and you know, you have a day of travel time, and the next day you're out fishing on Lake Sakakawea or Devil's Lake. It's kind of the trend. I mean, people can get around. You know, we're a well-informed angling society these days. We have good equipment, and, you know, so getting around and you know, fishing some of these different spots is, it's very easy. I mean, that's a good thing on one level, but at the same time, when you're fishing a lake that's infested with a certain, you know, aquatic nuisance species, you know, make sure it's not catching a ride with you so you don't take it somewhere else. You know, I guess I just can't emphasize that enough. You know, take a little precaution, and we're all going to be better off in the long run because of it.
Yep, and we're gonna cut it off there. Folks, we're going to, besides the casting in Devil's Lake, we're hopefully going to get to play with some slip bobbers. And slip bobbers means wave buster bobbers from Today's Tackle. Wonderful, wonderful product. They can handle that high wind, and they're easy to see. So you can buy those on the web at todaystackle.com. And for all your other tackle needs, etackledirect.com. Another fine sponsor of Why Fish Radio. But hopefully we have some Devil's Lake stories for you next week, and maybe a couple Red River stories to throw into, because since it's right here in town, it's easy to get to.
I tell you, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the wind actually stays down on a weekend for a change. I think that would be just a real treat. I mean, you know, we've always done well over on Devil's Lake. Plan B's have treated us pretty well. But boy, it would sure be nice to be able to just follow through with Plan A for a change.
Well, Jason says he's not coming. Well, I think he's lying, but he says he's not coming, and must be some reverse psychology with Mother Nature on that one.
Well, maybe the fish gods will take note, and, you know, like I say, we're bound to get a break here sooner or later, but, you know, I guess for now it's stay tuned. We'll see what happens, but we'll wrap up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. So for now, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.